Now, as I mentioned last Lord's Day, this is not two services, this is one service. But in the beginning of the meeting, I'm going to give you, my goal is for it to be about 15 to 20 minutes. You can call it a Sunday school lesson, you can call it whatever you want. But God's led me to go to the Ten Commandments. And so for the next 10 weeks at least, we're going to be looking at one commandment every Sunday morning. Obviously, you won't be here next Sunday morning unless somehow you're able to book a seat, if you're able to. But all of these services are online, by the way, anchoredinjesus.com. You can watch all of them. And I trust that you will do your best to keep up with these lessons on the Ten Commandments. Why are they important today? What can we learn from them in 2020? And so, obviously, we're looking at Exodus chapter number 20. And we'll be looking at several other passages as well. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful group of people that have made it out this morning. Thank you for their flexibility and patience with this new schedule and new facility and all that is entailed. I pray that it would become a part of our routine in a good way to get our seats booked, to prepare our hearts and all of the above, that the new system would not be a distraction to our spiritual growth, but that we would rejoice in in-person services once again and be thankful for what we have. Bless now these moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice that third verse. I am the Lord, second verse. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, Israel had been in Egypt for nearly 400 years. During that 400-year period of time, they were surrounded by the heathenistic, the polytheistic, and all of the worship of the Egyptians, which was not the one true God. They were surrounded by that. It was every day. It was a part of their life. At least they were. Maybe they weren't participating in it, but they were surrounded by it. It's kind of like, not in the sense today, but everywhere we go, believe me, it's not church everywhere we go, right? you go to work, it's not church. It's work, and you're surrounded, and I'm not being critical of the people you work with, but not everybody there at work that you're going to be around tomorrow is in church today. In fact, many of them, possibly, they have no desire to be in church. It's the furthest thing from their mind. And praise God, you're there. Praise God, we're in this world, though. Praise God, we're not to be of it, but we're in it, walking in the things of the Lord. And a lot of that has to do with this first lesson. But when they were led out of Egypt, they were led to a mountain where God would reintroduce himself, and he would give them 10 truths, or we call them 10 commandments, not suggestions, but commandments to live by. And keeping the commands of God, by the way, keeping the commands of God should come not out of a heart of duty. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. No, I want to do this because I love God. I want to do this not only because I love God, but first, he loves me. And we love God because he first loved us. And so that's what this is all about. I want to ask you this question as we begin. And many of you have read these. Maybe this is the first time, though, you will have read through them in this type of fashion. I wrote this down in my notes. Could this first commandment actually be the greatest challenge that I have as a Christian? Could this first commandment be the greatest challenge that we have as a Christian? What is the first commandment? No other gods. Say, Pastor Turner, got this one. I got this one. I don't have a statue of anything in my house. Well, just so you know, to put you at ease, a God doesn't represent a wooden statue necessarily. Now, it can, but it doesn't necessarily represent that. I found this quote. Many Christians want Jesus Christ to be a part of their lives, but not the central person of their life around whom their entire life revolves. I was thinking about that. I was walking yesterday in the backyard trying to get a walk in. Boy, as the day went on, it got smokier and smokier and smokier. But I was thinking about that. As my life revolves, that statement, my life revolves around Jesus Christ. You think about the wheel of a bicycle, right? The wheel of a bicycle has many what? Spokes. But it has that centerpiece. And all of the spokes come down to that centerpiece in the bicycle. And all of those spokes could represent different things in our life, your life, and my life. But at the center of that bicycle tire is where they all come in. And that's exactly the way I was thinking about it. My life should revolve not around the spokes, but my life should revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God should be the center of my life where everything else comes from it. Let me give you three thoughts about these verses and about this first commandment. Number one, we see the identification of our God. He identifies himself. Do you see that in verse number two? Look what he says. I am the Lord thy God. Really, he could have just stopped with I am. And some of you know about that statement. I am. This is the same statement that God identified himself with when he spoke to Moses. Go to chapter number three. Chapter number three. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 13. Exodus 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? Now this is before they've left Egypt. This is Moses is getting instructions from God because he's going to go be the spokesperson to Pharaoh. And he tells God, asks God, what do I tell him? Who do I tell him sent me? And God said unto Moses, verse 14, I am that I am. Notice that it's in all capital letters. I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel. And he shortens it. Here it is. I am. I am hath sent me unto you. I am equals Yahweh. I am equals Jehovah, the self-existent one, the self-sufficient one, the all-powerful one, the eternal God. And Moses, when you go to the people of Israel, just tell them, I am sent you. And this is exactly what he's talking about here in verse number 2 of Exodus chapter 20. I am the self-sufficient one, your provider, your protector. I am the Lord thy God. Now think about it. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 2, I don't have time to turn there. Maybe you're still in Exodus 3, but you want to look up there, you can. You notice that God appears to Moses in a part of his creation. Do you remember what God appeared to Moses in? A bush, that's right. And you remember something that was very unique about that bush was that it was on what? It was on fire. It was on fire. Then there was something else that was unique about that bush that was on fire. Do you remember that? It wasn't consumed. It wasn't being burnt up. I mean, here's a bush on fire in the middle of the desert, no less, but it's not being burnt up. You see, that's because, as we said just a moment ago, God is forever the same. God is unchanging. God is all-powerful. He is eternal. Whatever God inhibits, it's just going to be there. It's going to be alive, if you will. And God was in that bush. So this is the identification. Remember, 400 years. That's several generations, is it not? Several generations in Egypt. Paganism, multiple gods. Some, that's all they knew. Some of the children, that's all they knew. So God is saying, I am the Lord thy God. I am the self-sufficient one. I am the one who will take care of you. So number one is the identification of our God. Then number two, we see the intervention of our God. The intervention of our God. Oh, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Notice verse 2. Which have brought thee out. Think about that. Think about that. Which have brought thee out. Boy, that's a great thought. When you really let that sink in, what were the people in? They were in bondage. Bondage to the nation of Egypt for 400 years. And God says, I am the self-sufficient one. I am the all-powerful one. I am the eternal one. But I'm not just this I hate the word big, but I'm not just this big, powerful God. I am the one who delivered you from bondage. I am the one who intervened. I am the one who brought you freedom. I am the one who has brought you to this point. You're not making bricks anymore. That's what they had to do a lot of in Egypt. You're not working for them anymore. Now you're following me. Now you're going to be guided by me. God reminds the people of Israel how they got to this point. God reminds them who had delivered them. And oh, ladies and gentlemen, Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 2 is something that should be alive in your life today and alive in my life today. No, we aren't in Egypt. We're nowhere near Egypt right now. But every one of us, when we were born in bondage. We were born in bondage to sin. You have a sin nature by birth, but you and I also, I have a sin nature by birth, but we also sin by choice. And there isn't anything that sin does that brings freedom. Sin doesn't bring freedom. Sin brings bondage. Sin brings pain. Sin brings death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're here today in a beautiful building. You're here today online with us. Thank you for joining us. There might be someone even in this room or online that is joining us right now that you need God's grace to intervene into your life because you are still in bondage. You see, bondage is something that can only be broken by all-powerful God. I'm so glad that He's already broken the bondage. It's just up to you and to me by faith to receive that deliverance. Praise God, He is still intervening in the lives of those who are in bondage to sin. It is only by God's grace. Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them. You need to be delivered today. I'm not talking about spooky things, all right? I'm talking about real biblical deliverance. I'm talking about if you died without Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you will go to hell and spend eternity there forever. I didn't say that. God's Word said that. But you can be delivered from that punishment today. You can be delivered just like the nation of Israel was delivered. And it's the same picture of how they were delivered from Egypt on that 10th plague. You remember that blood was applied to the doorpost and the death angel went past and the death angel passed over them. Why? Because the blood of the sinless lamb had been applied. And over 2,000 years later, that's exactly how you and I can be delivered from our bondage. That's exactly how you and I can have peace that passeth all understanding. How many people in this world today are hungering for peace, but looking for it in all the wrong places? I'll tell you where you look for it. You look for it right here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, when God says, I can deliver you today. I can give you peace today. I can break the chains of bondage today. God said, I will deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. I want to tell you this morning, I was in the same place in my life as the nation of Israel before I came to Jesus Christ. I was in bondage. I was headed for a Christless eternity. I had no hope, but when I met the Master, He set me free. When I met the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave me something to live for. He gave me hope. I was in Egypt. I was in Egypt. You were in Egypt. Egypt is a representation of the world. We were trapped. We were in need of deliverance. Oh, by the way, I want to tell you as well, I didn't deserve to be delivered. I didn't deserve God's intervention. I didn't deserve for God to send Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, to bleed and die for my sin. Oh, but it was by God's grace. By the way, the Israelites were not delivered because of something they did. Think about this. They were not delivered because of something they did. We have so much confusion in this area. You don't have to do anything to earn God's favor. That's a lie. In fact, they didn't deserve to be delivered. But it was by God's grace, which flows out of God's love. God is love. Everything flows from God's love. Folks, I don't deserve to be a Christian today. I don't deserve to have heaven as my home. It's only by God's love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. They didn't deserve it. They were delivered because of God's grace. My salvation is not by my merit, but by the grace of God. I found this quote. God could have skipped the second part of Exodus 20, verse 2, and simply said, I am the Lord thy God, you must obey me. Think about that. I am your God, obey me. But you know what he said? I love what he said. I'm the Lord your God, I brought you out of bondage. I love you. And that's exactly what God is saying today. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what he's saying? He's saying you can be brought out of bondage today. You can be set free. I'm not talking about set free physically speaking, but there are some things that physically speaking we need to be set free from as well. But first and foremost, I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about when your ticker starts ticking, stops ticking, and you stop breathing, and you check out of this world, where are you going to go? You're going to go to one of two places. Today, the Holy Spirit of God wants to save you, though. Today, God's love, it wants to be surrounding you. Remember, his deliverance is what compels us to obey him. So we have the identification, we have the intervention, and lastly, let's look at the invitation. What is the invitation? Now we recognize that God's love is been given so that we might be, or God's love has been poured out that we might be set free, that we might be delivered from bondage, that we might have peace that passeth all understanding. And now God says, okay, now, but here's the deal. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the invitation. What is the invitation? Here's the invitation. God is telling me today, Ben, I want an exclusive relationship with you and you only. He doesn't want me to say, God, I love you, but I also love all this over here in the same way. It's an exclusive relationship. He is to be the one and only God. In Isaiah 42 and verse 8, the Bible says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Remember the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Whoever or whatever is most important in my life can become a god, small g. You realize that can be the husband and wife relationship even. That can be the parent-child relationship. By the way, none of these things that God's given us will come in the way of our relationship with God if we follow his word as he wants us to. It doesn't mean it's a bad relationship. A good thing can become bad very quickly when it becomes the God of our life. We can actually become spiritual polygamists. Think about that. Spiritual polygamist. We worship God and this isn't what God has in store for us. God says, hey, I got you out of bondage. I love you. Notice though, it's all there's a building here. I am the all-powerful one. I am the all-sufficient one. I love you. I've delivered you. Now I want to be number one in your life. By the way, he deserves that. He deserves that. Our love and adoration for God must be cultivated. Must be cultivated. Time must be spent with God. I love God, but I don't have time for his word. Do you really love God? I don't have time, but I love God, but I don't have time for his church. By the way, these are things God loves. God loves the church. We know God loves his word. And again, I want to just say thank you to Anchor Baptist Church, whether you're online or in person. Thank you so much for these last 6 months of mainly being at home and watching church and now trying to get things restarted. Thank you for being here. Thank you for loving God. And we need to love God more. We need to love God with all of our heart. We need to love God with all of our being. But here's the thing. We say we love God, but is God really number one? Now, only you know the answer to that question. I would encourage you today to consider your love for God. I love God, but I don't have time to tell anybody about Christ. I want to show you our new track. There's some on the back table. There's other little devotionals that are on the back table. They're in stacks of one or two. That way you just take whatever. Don't take everything, but you can grab one. But here's our new gospel track. I want you to take a couple of these today and be handing them out. On the back of the gospel track, there's that QR code, and people can book their seats and be a part of it. Even as guests, we have several seats set aside for visitors every week. Look, it is our responsibility as the family of God to be a voice for God. My love for God is shown when I turn my back on anything that competes with God. My love for God is shown when I turn my back on anything that competes. Or again, every relationship that you and I have today doesn't need to be in competition. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's not saying disregard the marital relationship and disregard the parental relationship. I think all of us here understand something, that when God is number one, every other relationship sails on the sea of life a little more smoothly. Doesn't mean that it's free of bumps. It doesn't mean that we don't hit a big wave every once in a while. They're there. But when we have God in his rightful place, God helps us through every storm, through every difficulty. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Think about that this week. As we live this week, what part of your day is set aside for God? You have to discipline. I have to discipline myself, don't you? If you don't, I can tell you what will happen, because it's happened to me many times. The day will be gone, and there will have been no time for God. And then you know what we're saying? We're saying, really, this is what we're saying. I don't love God. You say, but I do love God. Right, but talk's cheap. Sorry. We love with action. Action. So think about that and pray that we as a church would be putting God